Welcome to the HPCC Systems Podcast, your resource for gaining insight into the latest big data trends, hearing innovative ideas from the industry's thought leaders, and learning firsthand knowledge from our team of experts who manage and deploy HPCC Systems, a proven, data-intensive supercomputing platform designed for the enterprise to process and solve big data analytical problems. For more information, go to hpccsystems.com.
Hello, I'm Trish McCall with LexisNexis. I manage community programs for HPCC Systems. Once again, I'm in Delray Beach, Florida this week for our engineering conference. It's definitely a great time for me to grab the movers and shakers behind the HPC Systems platform and hear about all the cool things ahead on the product roadmap. So speaking of movers and shakers, my guests for this podcast are Bob Foreman, Senior Trainer.
Hi, Trish.
Hello, welcome.
Thanks.
And Gavin
Halliday. Am I the mover or the shaker?
I'll let you decide that for yourself.
All right.
Remember, this is audio only, so.
All right.
And Gavin Halliday, Senior Architect from LexisNexis.
Hi, Trish.
Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you on. So we recently released 3.8, which includes some great new features and enhancements. Can you share with us some of the highlights?
Well, 3.6 was a lot about getting the functionality of the system up to what we needed. And what we were concentrating in 3.8 particularly was improving the performance. There were a few areas where, compared to the old system, it wasn't as capable as the new one. So one of the areas, for example, is we've been looking at Thor, and the way the memory is managed in Thor, we basically took what was there, ripped it out, and replaced it with something new, which is based on the code in Roxy. It's enabled us to do all sorts of things, so we handle variable length records much better. But the main benefit is the way that memory is handled in Thor is now a lot more dynamic. Before, we used to pre-allocate big blocks of memory. Now it's a lot more on demand. The main thing is that compared with the old system, we're now quicker, whereas before we were slower. So we've already done quite a lot of kind of performance improvements in the system.
That's great.
Yeah. Noticeable from the training standpoint, because we always try to stay up to date with the latest version. Also in 3.6, I think we updated to support LDAP so that people can now log into the open source clusters. They can password protect the ECL watch and the ECL IDE.
We've also been doing work on the protect LDAP again for making sure users can't get to data files that they don't have access to and things like that. Making sure that you can actually use this for a production system where you don't want people to be able to get to data that they shouldn't have access to.
Exactly.
Cool. Yeah. So you mentioned Thor. So have the three main components of the HPC Systems platform, you know, Thor, the data refinery, Roxy, the data delivery engine, and then we've got ECL, which is the enterprise control language supporting the platform. Have they changed considerably since going open source, and if so, how?
They've changed in different ways. So one of the main ways that Thor has changed is it's become a lot more flexible. It used to be that there were some things you could do in Roxy, there were some things you could do in Thor, but some things you can do on both of them. What we've done, especially in 3.6, and is allow Thor to do some of the things that only Roxy could do before. Now, particularly things like child queries, that means that you can do a lot more complicated processing on Thor than you could before. You might be trying to match complicated criteria for matching up records. That's now a lot more flexible on Thor. So ECL, the language itself, you've probably seen, Bob, hasn't changed that much. But what we have tried to do is make developing ECL a lot more like developing in, say, a normal language like C++ or Java. So previously, everything worked through a central, really a central store of the source code. Now it works a lot more like a normal system where you have local source files, you work on them locally, and then the system gathers them all up and processes them. So the main idea behind that was that people who aren't familiar with our system is a lot more familiar how the system works. So we've been doing a lot of things to reduce the learning curve of people coming to the system.
Yeah. I have to agree with Gavin on that. When I first started learning ECL, the fact that some things work magically in the older versions, for example, like default modules, and you could type something in and you didn't have to, and it magically worked, and if you didn't dig down as a new ECL learner, you just like think, well, that's the way everything works, and then you run into other obstacles along the way. The thing I really like about the open source ECL is that everything's consistent. You have to import everything that you're going to be working with. You have to export everything. There's a lot of implicit actions that are now supported and make things easier from a training standpoint. I think back in the, you know, way back in older versions, if you had a, even terminology changed a little bit to make the terminology more openly adaptive with everyone. For example, just changing things like inserting a module back in the older version, now it's called a folder, and inserting an attribute, well, what did that mean? Now it's called inserting a file, and just little changes like that have made it much easier to use and much easier to understand and also to teach, because it's more consistent.
Yeah, I mean, part of it was taking the opportunity that we were going to make changes to the system. So we went back and looked at some of the problems with the current system and thought, well, now is the chance to address them. And the changes Bob was talking about, they're caused by, quite often before, we were working with small sets of ECL, and over time that has grown and grown and grown. And now the things that worked well for small ECL really don't work so well for our big ones. So it was kind of addressing some of the limitations in the system so that we can continue to build on it.
Mm-hmm. That's great, yeah. So are there any special features or modules the community is asking for that is currently in development?
Well, we've had, you know, since we went open source back in June of last year, there's the response of the community has been great. One of the first things that we did was last February was the response with the machine learning library. And now we're starting to develop more connectivity with the outside world. Like there's this HDFS driver for people that want to talk to their Hadoop file system from and not have it not have to worry about converting it. They can reference the file directly. Right now, we're still working on adopting the ECL IDE plugin that's going to be released very soon. That you'll be able to use ECL with the very popular open source Eclipse IDE. Other things like the JDBC driver and the Pentaho Kettle plugin, these are all things that we've responded to with the community to make the product overall,
I think working with other open source technologies is a huge benefit.
Right.
And the community will definitely accept that.
Yep.
So we're at 3.8.2. So what's next?
Hopefully more of the same. We've done a lot of work on Thor between 3.6 and 3.8, but really that's only the beginning of what we're going to do. We've kind of put the changes in place which have already given us some good improvements, but they also open up all sorts of opportunities for us to do things better. So, for instance, it'll allow us to combine more things into a single subgraph, and that can have a real effect. So one of the Hadoop queries that we typically run against actually goes 3 times faster once we've made these changes. So we've already done some good work, but I can see some really good improvements coming up down the line as well.
I look forward to it.
Yeah, and the other thing I want to say, that the podcast here, we want to address a lot of the people that work inside the LexisNexis community as well, that there are people that are in the trenches every day working with the older versions, and we're starting the process of migrating everyone to the open source. And we want to encourage everybody that it's not painful. It's an easy process. There's a few things that you have to be aware of, and that's what we're talking about in this podcast mm-hmm. now. There's new language statements like aggregate and function macro that are part of the open source that ECL developers that have been programming for years can take advantage of. The ECL watch has gotten a facelift. Just the look and feel of the ECL watch is a lot nicer now in the open source. So I just want to encourage people, for nothing more, and even if they don't want to step on their own daily work, they can download the VM right from the HPCC Systems website and kick the tires on their own laptop like I have on mine.
Right, and, they, and there's documentation supporting what you're talking about, too.
Sure, absolutely.
On that website.
Absolutely. Gavin's done some great work with the compiler and the ECL compiler. It's a joy to be working on a team with him like this, and he just, mm-hmm. you know, continues to amaze all of us and the development, and, you know, really glad that you could share some time with us in the podcast. It's great.
Yes, thank you, Gavin. Thank you. And as a reminder, people can download the latest version on hpccsystems.com. Okay. Thanks, guys. Bob, it's always
Thanks,
a pleasure.
Trish.
And Gavin, right. thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to the HPCC Systems podcast. You can find this podcast along with other information on our website at hpccsystems.com. Also, be sure to join our LinkedIn group, follow us on Twitter and our other social media channels to hear about our latest news, product updates, and events. Just go to hpccsystems.com/connect. Until next time, take care and best of luck with your big data initiatives.